you're quoting, right? The numbers are showing.
And we know when we're going to find him. And we want to make sure that everything we do is to the glory of God. It's his kingdom. And he is the Christ. He is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
In a couple of minutes, we're going to share some more stories of some of the healings and some of the miracles and some of the amazing things that have been happening in our lives. We heard a number of them last week, and I just don't think we're done with that yet. And I think God's going to carry on. He's got more. You know, he's finding a fertile soil to work in.
Yes.
And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. But before we get to that, there's just a couple of, I guess, some, I don't know, if, I don't like announcements. I hate that word. But sometimes we need to be informed of some things. We need to, you know, we're not the best communicators sometimes. You know, I'm not. Sometimes, everything's sort of the best secret in the world. Where do you pay your, where's the box to put the money in, and when are we meeting, and what are we doing? So just going to take a little time to talk about a few things that are happening. And just, Alvin, I know I didn't say before, but can you just tell us a little bit about what's going on with the new church, and with the renovations that are happening there?
Well, we're drywalling stage, and we just about got it all drywalled. We've got all the windows and doors in, and so things are coming along really fine. We need some Gord is volunteered tomorrow morning. He's going to come and clean up the place, so praise God.
Amen. He's a good guy.
And so there's that's going on. And the taping's going to be taking place here maybe in a week or a week and a half. We'll see. And see how that goes. And then after that, we'll be looking at for painting. And so we'll need a lot of painters. So we'll get you involved in that. Other than that, we've moved the front entry over to where it is now, in the front of the building, so we can't use that smaller door anymore. So what else?
The beam?
The beam, oh yeah, we got the big steel beam up. We got the middle post hanging out. It looks really fine. Yeah, looks awesome in there. So it's just... We're just about ready to give it.
One of the greatest men that I've ever known in my life. Okay? I gotta admit this, though. Okay? Like, pat me in the back. Sometimes you gotta pat yourself in the back. Let me finish. Now, who's being greedy? Me! Okay, here's the truth of it all, okay? Stan is a very good man. He looks after us who are on the street. So far, I'm not on the street. Thank God for Stan. I'm not on the street. But I'll tell you this much. Please, everybody, believe in him. Because it's because of him I'm not on the street. I might be a little drunk right now.
I mentioned that maybe we should start somebody should start a mentor program in the church.
No, you should start a mentor
and
program.
And someone said that maybe I should start a mentor program in the church. And it was actually, it wasn't my idea, it was God's idea that that the program should be started. And I've been looking on the internet about mentors and mentorship in churches, and they're actually very important that we have mentors and people to mentor in church, because that's what really it's all about, is helping each other one-on-one. And I mean, there's a lot of great groups and prayer groups and stuff, but I mean, after we leave those prayer groups, you're alone again. So we need someone to call and someone to talk to and someone to pray with, and even teach us how to prayer. And if you want to sign up for the mentor program, just let me know. If you need a mentor, just let me know, because I actually need a mentor, because I struggle a lot of times, and I need to learn how to pray more and spend time with God. I work a lot, so I don't spend time with God, and I struggle, like many people think that I don't struggle, but I struggle all the time. So it's the people that you don't think that struggle with really struggle. And you know, it's great to actually ask for help once in a while. So if you want to be a mentor, just God really puts it on your heart to be a mentor. Please be a mentor. And if you need help, you need someone to help you, and just someone to call, just let me know. Thanks.
Thanks, Rick. I think we all know that, how important that is. And I think part of the vision, as you explained it to me before, is that, you know, for those who want to be involved in that, is that you may have someone who mentors you, and at the same time you're mentoring someone else. You know, and it's happening both ways. You're gaining and gleaning the wisdom and the direction from someone else, maybe who's more seasoned in the faith, and you're able to pass that same information on to someone else. I think that's a real biblical approach. The Bible says that we are to make disciples, you know, of each other. We are to make disciples of new believers. It's sometimes one of the things we do the worst. So just, you know, if nothing else, we pray. Let's do that right now. Jill, why don't you stand up? Pray for Rick, and then I know you have something to say about Friday mornings. So pray for Rick.
Father, we thank you for this vision that you've given to Rick, God. We just thank you, Father. We bless it. We ask that you would anoint it in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. And Father, that your call is to make disciples, Father. So Father, help us to respond to this call today. That we would make disciples, Father. That we would mentor one another for your glory, and that we would grow in the things of your Spirit and of your Word, Lord. So we commit these things into your hands, and thank you that you're faithful, and thank you that you've called us, and thank you that you're growing us, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. I would also like to share, while we were worshiping today, I had a vision, and in this vision, I don't know where we were, but we were all clothed in a garment white, like bright white. And the praise that was going up was just amazing. And it wasn't just us, so we were in a great multitude. And there we were, all before God, just praising Him, just praising God. And it was just an amazing, amazing experience. That's who we are. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We are a righteous people. You are clean, Jesus said. Now you're clean by the words that I've spoken to you. We are clean and we are righteous. And the next big call of God is to holiness. God is saying, be holy as I am holy.
Amen.
And God is saying, repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yes.
Just a straight call to holiness.
Yes.
And a call to the fear of the living God.
Yes.
You know, to know Him because He is so big and so great and so loving that we want to lay down the things that bind us. We just want to be in His presence. We just want to prostrate ourselves because He's God.
Yes.
So bless you in that. Bless you in your calling. Bless you in your righteousness in Him. But also, feeling that we're starting at the Solid Ground Cafe on Friday mornings, and it's primarily a men's ministry, but whatever happens, happens. But men need to fellowship with men, and women need to fellowship with women. And we started at 7 a.m. on Friday mornings, where we just get together and we share the word with one another and we encourage one another, and all the more because the day of the Lord is coming. God is doing an amazing work among us. God loves the poor. God loves the drug addicts. God loves the addicted. God loves those that nobody else will love, the poor. God loves us. So bless you in Jesus' name.
Don't you guys, can you talk with
me? You just say God believes in drug addict and the alcoholic. Is that what not you just said?
Let's see.
True.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but
we want to see Jesus.
And Father, we just thank you for your presence here. It's so hard, Lord. Sometimes it's so hard. We don't even know what to do or what love sometimes looks like. We know, God, that there's none of us that stands condemned when we're washed in your blood, that you love us all equally. We also know, Lord, that sometimes there's a demon of the bottle. There's a demon of that alcohol that wants to interrupt and wants to speak. And we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you'll be in control, God. And that we will surrender to you. It's not about our agenda of God. We want to do what you want us to do. But we want to hear from you and not from any other evil spirit today. I pray for that, Lord. I pray that this will be a place where everyone is welcome. But this would be a place where only the truth is proclaimed. And we want to hear through the power of your spirit today, God. We want to hear what you would have us know, God. We want to draw closer to you. So just pray for your presence. Pray for your power to be here, God. You're a cleansing God. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, your word says, therefore, we do not walk in the flesh. We do not walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh.
That's right.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God.
Right.
We're pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that is exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And bringing and being ready to push all disobedience when your obedience is faithful. Father, we just come against. We do not war in the flesh, but we pray for those who struggle in life. In addiction. Father, I've been there.
Yes, God.
Father, it's your word that set me free.
Thank
you. Father, I pray that you would just speak to them. Father, that addiction will just, that addictive spirit has to leave right there in the name of Jesus. Father God, we are not standing for this anymore. Father God, you are not standing for this anymore. So we ask, Father, and we declare right now that that subjective spirit that lives in Red Deer has to leave.
Thank you.
Father, your word says when we speak to something, it has to go in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
We declare right now that addictive spirit has to leave right there in the name of Jesus. You have to bow.
Jesus.
You have no authority. Christ has given us the authority. You cannot use this city for your kingdom. This city is for God's kingdom in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you will start using people in this church and other churches to start rising up and warring against the strongholds of this city.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Lord.
Yes, brother. Did you have your hand up? Oh, no, sorry, Scotty. You're just praising God. You got to be careful of that around here. Scotty.
I just wanted to say for all the leaders here in the church and for people who are minded that way, that the last month, we prayed for no interruptions, so that wasn't an interruption. This is, let's open up our spiritual eyes, let's see what the truth is. God is giving us these opportunities so that we can learn better, so we can learn how to deal with these things. Because these things are not going to stop. So God is allowing, notice how it's been every Sunday for about a month. One person at a time.
Yes.
Right? These very important people in our lives are coming into our congregation one person at a time. Okay? So God is using these. So when you're on your knees before God, seek how to minister better.
That's right.
Ask God how to love different. I have no words for it exactly. That's why we have to seek before God what's happening. Because God is using this to teach us as a congregation.
Yep.
And we will lead the city and we will show the city how we can love.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Scotty. Thank you.
And we
face something like that, and those that can speak in tongues, rise up, use that language.
Amen.
That is the language that the devil is scared of, and that's the only language that cannot touch. And so, please, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and use what God has given you.
Amen. No, I think that God says we've dealt with this long enough. We're not going to spend our whole service talking about this. Let's do this one more time. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. And open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Say amen. Kit, are you going to speak from there or you want to come up here?
I'll speak
from there. Okay. Let me just introduce this. We need to, you know what, when Jesus healed people, they often went praising God. We hear that in the story of the paralytic. We hear that in the story of the lepers, that they were praising God. They gave God the glory. So if you're wondering what we're trying to do this morning, and I'm wondering that a bit myself, we just want to praise God. You know, we need to acknowledge that God is doing a work of healing and a work of miracle working in so many lives. And I think that it's about giving Him the glory and being grateful to Him. And so, Kit, I want you to tell a little bit about your story and the healing that you received, okay? God bless you. It's on.
Well, we do have an awesome God, and God is love, and the Word is God, and I would like to share with you something that happened, a couple months ago. I ended up in emergency. I have a condition called atrial fibrillation, which is an irregular heartbeat, and if it gets out of control, and you're not on blood thinners, the danger is major stroke or heart attack. Anyway, I'm in ICU and I'm talking to God. And I say, God, this isn't really what I want. I'm not looking forward to a stroke. I don't want a heart attack. But if it's your will, I'm prepared and I'm ready. The peace that came over me, like a cocoon, and now I was in ICU for 3 days, and during that time it was like I was being held in God's arms. I felt the presence of God so strong that somebody said to me, do you want to call Pastor Stan for him to pray for you? And without thinking, sorry, I said, I don't need Pastor Stan. God.
Amen.
And that's really the way I felt. Anyway, long story short, they've got to try and get my heart regulated to my normal irregular heartbeat. They gave me one medication, nothing. Two, nothing. Three, nothing. Then the doctor comes in and he says, now we're in the second day. The stress on your heart cannot continue this kind of irregular beating. And I'm going to give you one more thing, and this is going to fix it all. So he gives me two more things in the veins, a pill and a needle in the stomach. And we wait. nothing happened. Nothing. So after a while, they came in and
said, well, we can't do anything for you.
None of this has worked. We don't know what to do. We'll put you in a room, see what happens. And they're disconnecting all the tubes and all the different things except for the heart monitor. And she's, I'll never forget, because she's standing there wrapping all these wires around her hands, and she said, you have just converted. My heart went back. She said, you've done it on your own. You've done it. She's congratulating me and hugging me. We know I didn't do it. We know that God, the glory goes to God. And he could have done it after the first medication, second medication, whatever. But then those doctors would have had the glory. God is the one that has the glory. Praise be to God.
Amen. Amen. God is the God who heals. And we heard last week from Barb how she was prayed over a couple of Sundays ago and her shoulder was so sore, and after the prayer, her shoulder was healed. We heard from Mitch. Mitch called me 3 weeks ago now, and he said, I fell off my deck and I broke my elbow, and they've taken x-rays and there's a big line there, and it's I got to go in for surgery on Thursday. They're going to put a pin in it. But by Thursday, we prayed for him Sunday morning, and by Thursday, well, before Thursday, I'm not telling a lie, right? I'm telling the truth. I don't want to tell your story, but we heard it last week, and what's God doing? I mean, he's healing, he's answering, he's doing what he said he did all through the scriptures, right? Now, Alvin didn't tell this story, but he told me it, that when he was away in B.C. You want to tell that story quick? No, you tell it. It's your story.
Anyway, I went out to B.C. here. We went for a weekend, and I went to a little church. My wife doesn't even know this. I didn't share nothing with her. She doesn't know anything about this. So it might be a surprise for her. Communication, lack of communication. But anyway, that morning I woke up. My one ear was completely plugged, and I couldn't hear a thing. So, and it was Sunday morning, so I thought, well, I'll go to church and visit this little church that I know up there in Burton, B.C. So anyway, I get out there, and it's just a little congregation, about seven people. So, hallelujah. Thank you. So the pastor, he starts talking about, do people need any healing in here? So, no. So one lady piped up, she says, yeah. So they prayed for her, and there was this other person, they needed prayer. And he keeps asking, so, there's somebody else. So, oh, okay. So I put up my hand. And so they, so he says, what's your problem, Mel? I says, well, I woke up this morning with my ear completely plugged. And I ran into this inner ear problem infection before. And I don't know if you've ever had that inner ear infection. I tell you, just send you for a loop, babe. And so I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have this. So he prayed for me. And they prayed for me. And so me, of little faith, I went into to the cuss. And I had some other business to do there. But anyway, there's a hospital. There's no clinic or anything. So I went to the emergency hospital there and got them to look at me. And make a long story short, there was nothing they could do for me. They checked it out. They had doctors, nothing. But by this time, my hearing was coming back. And by the time I got back to camp, it was completely gone. So,
God is still healing today. Sometimes he heals in those kind of miraculous ways. Sometimes it's just a snap of the finger and someone, you know, is sick and he's not sick anymore. Or, you know, they're deaf and they hear. There's all kinds of different ways that God heals. I know there's a few hands up. I'm sorry if you just be patient with me for a minute. God sometimes heals in other ways too. Sometimes he uses doctors and surgeons, and he uses, he gives people gifts who are able to use those gifts in a hospital setting. I don't know, Jerry, if you wanted to say anything about why you're here today. I know you're not ready for this, but you're more an example, I think, even though there's been lots of prayer. You're an example of how God is healing you through some of the gifted people that he's put in your pathway. Apparently you're ready. He's always ready, in and out of season.
I might not be ready, but the book is ready all the time. I was thinking of this fellowship this morning and in the days, last 3 weeks, as I was busy. It put some new parts in me and took some old parts out. And when you get a certain age or any age, you don't have any spare parts, you know. You can't get them at Canadian Tire. So if God won't heal the ones you've got, he's going to compensate somehow. However he wants to do it is fine. But I was thinking of this fellowship, and you know, there's the full armor of God. And we read that through, and we know what we're supposed to have on and put on every day. But it ends this way in verse 18. Pray at all times, on every occasion, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. And I want to thank everyone here who prayed for Gladys and I and our family during that time. Now, God doesn't always heal just because you ballyhoo, because I had this pancreatitis for a year. And last little attack came along, and I had the raging grannies out on the date. I had Gladys and Gertie and Ricky. We walked on the wild side of life, and we went to Sunnybrook Farm. And so, just when we got there, I had one of these attacks. So the ladies are in there munching, and I said, Lord, give me a little ease in this until these ladies finish eating, including their pie. And so that happened. That happened. And I went home, and I said, well, Lord, you took this away before, so how about it this time again? Because really, literally, I had a gutful. I had done. And nothing happened. So I saddle up and head down to emergency again for morphine and ice chips. A taste-tempting treat. But after 2 days, even the best imagination in the world cannot imagine chocolate-coated ice chips doing you much good. Anyway, long story short, in emergency, had a good doctor, looked after me, and they took all the pictures again, and he said, but there's a surgeon here tonight, Jerry. I want him to look at these. And lo and behold, a young fella came in, wild and woolly, very eager. They'd had great emergencies there. And he said, why in the hay is that gallbladder still in there? And I said, I don't know. You tell me, but it's supposed to come out the end of the month. Well, he said, you're here already, so why go away? And so, long story short, again, he did make arrangements. And that was Thursday. Friday morning, a young gentleman came in and said, we're going to take your gallbladder out. I said, it's all yours. It's all yours. So the healing occurred through medicine, through people who God has gifted. God has gifted them. And I got the opportunity to tell them that too. This didn't happen by accident that you can yard out gallbladders. This happened because God gave you the gift to be able to work with us. So praise God, no matter how he does his healing. And we just thank him in Jesus' name.
God is good. God is a healer. We're going to focus on God, right? Okay. Thank you. Just open your word. We're going to open the Bible today back to Luke chapter 5. Because I think it's in that context, you know, all these testimonies. And I know that we could do a lot more. There's a lot more stories. I know that there's hands up. I know that God is doing miracles. God is doing signs and wonders. Last week, Hilly Nadu, they're gone this week, but she stood up and she said, you know, I have one of my lungs gone. They took it out because I had lung cancer. And when I went in for to a specialist this week, I have a lung capacity of 102 or 103%. And that's impossible. And the technician said that. It's impossible. It can't be. But we have a God who's a God of the impossible. Right? So back to this story, if you bear with me, the story of the paralytic. It's in Luke chapter 5. We read beginning with verse 17. So one day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay hold or to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." When Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And immediately, he stood up in front of them and took what he had been lying on. And he went home praising God. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. And they were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Amen? That's kind of why we just did what we did. So we praise God together and we acknowledge together that we've seen remarkable things and that this Jesus that we worship is the same Jesus that he was 2,000 years ago when he was the healer, when people came to him and had their needs presented and who needed to be touched by him. The story just prior to this is the story of the leper. And I've always been so amazed by that Jesus was not afraid to put his hands on the leper. He wasn't afraid of the leprosy. Jesus was prepared to touch and to heal, and he still is today. He still is today. There's that one verse that's just striking in here where it says that the power of God was available for him to heal the sick on this particular event. The power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. That's quite an astounding statement, don't you think? And what it implies, I think it implies just the opposite, that there were times when for whatever, there may be a number of reasons, we're going to get into that a little bit, but there were times when Jesus was more able to heal than other times. And a lot of times, that had to do with faith, right? What was Jesus? He was amazed at the faith that he saw. When he saw their faith, it says, he healed the man who was laying on the mat, right? In Mark chapter 6, we hear the story of where Jesus is first in his hometown of Nazareth. And at Nazareth, because the people, they were wondering who Jesus was, and you know, he's a hometown boy, and they went, you know, "Who is this Jesus? Isn't he the son of Joseph and of Mary? And who is this guy to do miracles?" And it says there that because of their utter lack of faith, Jesus was only able to do a few miracles. And then it goes on and it says, he was only able to touch and heal, you know, some of the people who came to him. We're going, "Oh man, that was a bad day." He was only able to touch and heal a few because of the lack of faith. And so we're going to start here today by talking about faith, and that faith is such an important ingredient in the working of miracles or in the receiving of the healing that we might need and that we are to receive, you know, from God. It depends sometimes about on our faith, and it almost seems as if the word teaches us that the degree of our faith is correlating to the power of the healing. Okay, can I say that again? That that as much faith as we have, as much faith as we demonstrate, that's what will affect the kind of power and the kind of miracles that will happen among us, and that happened in Jesus' day. Amen.
Amen.
We need to be people of faith. We need to believe what God's word says, right? Sometimes I think we believe that all that was for back then, you know? All those miracles, all those signs and wonders, all that wonderful stuff, that happened back then, but now, you know, we live in a different age, we live in a different time. But isn't what the Bible teaches. In fact, if you read the stories of Jesus and you read the parables, or particularly when you read other accounts when Jesus heals, most of the time, what he says to someone is, he says, "It's your faith that's healed you. Because of your faith." He says it to the leper. He says it to the woman who has a blood disease. He says, "Woman, because of your faith, you are healed." Right? It has to do with what we believe. It has to do with us actually asking Jesus to heal us and believing that we're going to receive what he wants for us. It really is. We need our ingredient. The part that we play is faith. We need to believe what God's truth teaches us. Right? And the same, you know, almost the opposite is true. Lots of times, what does Jesus call his disciples? I mean, almost it's his pet name for them. He says, "Oh, ye of little faith." You know, they were the ye of little faith gang. Right? Oh, ye of little faith. They demonstrated little faith. When they demonstrated little faith, very little happened. Can you pull that up for me? Wake up. Oh, ye of little faith. Not coffee, water, please. Sorry. Okay, so it's about faith, and it's what does the body of Christ do? How do we encourage each other? I think what we need to do, what the word teaches us, is we need to be men and women of faith. We need to be people who encourage and who prod each other along in faith. We need to be people who say, here, this is what the word says. Let's believe it. Let's do it. Let's live it. Let's ask. It says ask, and you'll receive. Well, then let's actually ask.
Amen.
And let's not just ask, let's expect.
Amen.
Right? Amen. I think, you know, I said last week, I lived a lot of my life not expecting miracles. Can you just follow me around? If you don't expect a miracle and you don't get one, you're not disappointed. You got exactly what you expected, right? But the word teaches us to expect it and to have faith in it and to have faith in Jesus. And that Jesus, he's the same healer as he always was. And that's an important, I hope you heard that. That's an important teaching for all of us. Are you listening? He's the same healer that he always was. And he still wants to touch you. He still wants to heal you. He still wants to give you wholeness and peace in your life. Sometimes, I love these stories. I love the Bible. I love God's Word. And I love getting into the story. And I imagine you do the same thing. But I wonder what it must have been like to be among those four friends. You know, carrying the paraplegic. Carrying him to Jesus. What must that have been like? And you know, they get to the door and there's just hundreds of people there. And they can't get, you can hardly get to Jesus. You know, if you're one person, let alone to try to do that with a stretcher, what must it have been like? What must it have been like? I'm talking too fast. To be there, right? And it just struck me this week that somewhere along the line in this story, somewhere along the line where all of this is happening and where they're bringing their friend to Jesus, that somewhere along the line, one of them looked at the others and he said this, "We need a rope." Right? We need a rope. I mean, they may have brought all kinds of things with them that day. I don't know how far they traveled. They may be brought a lunch. Maybe they brought some water. Maybe they even brought along a little extra money, but I don't think they brought a rope. I don't think they expected that they'd have to be lowering their friend through a roof. And that is such a sign and such an expression of faith, I think. When you hear this, one of them says to the other, "We need a rope." Because we know that they found a rope, right? Where do you find 40 feet of rope? In Palestine, right? We need a rope. And what that means something to me, because it speaks of faith. It speaks of, we're not quitting here.
That's right.
You have a need, brother. You are lame. You need to be touched by Jesus. We're not quitting here until we find a rope, until we open up the roof, and until we lower you down to the feet of the healer. It speaks of faith. It speaks of amazing faith, doesn't it? Wow. We need a rope, they said. We need to find a way to get him to Jesus. They could have said something different. They could have said, "You know what? This isn't working. Look at the crowd. Bill, Ben, Fred, John. Look at the crowd. Let's go home." That's what they could have said. They could have said, "You know what? Clearly God's purpose is not that our friend would walk today. We need to go back." But that's not what they said.
No.
And we don't know. I know I'm surmising a little bit here. But we do know this, that they were intent and they were deliberate about making sure that their friend was going to see Jesus on that day.
Amen.
And for me, that's what faith is.
Yes.
Jesus responded to faith. He said, it says that he saw their faith. And then he healed them, and he says, "Your sins are forgiven."
Yes.
Jesus responded to that faith. I think that the definition of faith is when you go to extraordinary lengths to get your friend to Jesus Christ. Can we agree on that? When we're willing to go to extraordinary lengths to bring our friend to Jesus, that's what faith is. And when it says in the scriptures, when it says that Jesus, you know, it must have been quite a scene, right? The roof starts caving in on them, and they lower their friend in, you know, the rope, and it says that Jesus saw their faith. What did he really see? You know, I mean, faith, according to Hebrews, is something that's inside of us. It's a hope that we have. It's an assurance. It's a belief that we have. It's a conviction that's deep inside. Faith, really what he saw was their love in action, don't you think? He saw their love. What did Jesus see? He saw the rope. That's what he saw. He saw the rope and he saw the hole in the ceiling and he went, because of your faith. Because of your faith. Because you were willing to go to extraordinary lengths to bring your friend to me. Amen. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And because of that amazing demonstration of faith, there was power. There was ample power in that place. The power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. You say amen? The power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick because he saw the faith. You know, I want to go beyond that. I think there's more than just faith that's happening here. One of the other things that's just amazing in the story is the love that's happening here. And I think that we'd be amiss to not talk about that today. I mean, what we really are seeing isn't just faith, but like I said a little while ago, we're seeing the love in action. What amazing love, you know? How many of us have friends like this? Honestly. How many of us, well, good for you. How many of us have four people who carry us up on the roof and do willful damage to someone's roof and then lower us down, you know, because they loved us that much?
I need about six people.
You want to know if you got it? How many friends you got? You get your friends around you one day and you say, you know, guys, I got to move a piano to the attic. You find out how many of them volunteer. Pretty soon you know who your real friends are. I mean, these guys were willing to pick up their friend and they're willing to do whatever it took. I think I've said that pretty clearly by now. You understand, right? To do whatever it takes to get this friend at Jesus' feet. And that is such an example of love, don't you think?
Amen.
It's only love. It's only love that would motivate anyone to do such a crazy thing. They loved him. They loved him enough to bring him to Jesus. They loved him enough to make sure that he received the healing that Jesus was willing to give him. In 1 Corinthians 12, we're told about the gifts of the Spirit. We're told about the different ways that the Holy Spirit comes to the body and gifts us and empowers us. That there's different gifts that are given to different people. You've got different gifts than I, Christine, and you have different gifts from Gertie. That God gives each one gifts according to his purpose and according to his Spirit. I want to just remind you of that. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says this, that we're one body. When one part lacks or when one part is hurting, we're all hurting because we stand together as one. It says there that there should be no division among the body. Its parts should have equal concern for each other. For if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices. And then he goes into this. He says, now, you are the body of Christ. Did you hear that? You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and also those having gifts of healing, and then those able to help others, and those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts, he says. You know why? A lot of times we stop right there. We think, well, there, chapter 12 is done. That's the message. That's not the message. The very next words that Paul says is this. Now let me show you a more excellent way. Now let me show you a more excellent way. It's the way of love. that no matter how great your gift is, no matter how gifted you are, how much knowledge you have, no matter whether you speak in tongues or whether you have all kinds of, you can move a mountain, your faith is that great. If you don't have love, it doesn't add up to anything. If you don't have love, it's just noisy. How many of you have been in a place where it's just noisy? You know, there's no love. Everything has to be, all of these gifts, including, and I want you to notice that he separates the gift of healing from the gift of those who are workers of miracles. We'll get to that someday. But I want you to notice that every one of those is in the context of how we love each other. And that it's as we love each other, and it's as we demonstrate the amazing love of Jesus to each other, that the ground is fertile for the miracles and for the wonders and for the amazing work of God to happen. But that it will not happen if we don't love each other.
That's right.
It will not. Let me show you a more excellent way, he says. You can have all of those gifts. You can be full of wonder. You can have all your theology straight. You can have all the knowledge. You know everything. You know your Bible completely from back to front. But if you don't have love, it isn't anything. It doesn't add up to anything. You can give away all of your money. You can be the most generous person in the city. But if you aren't filled with love, it doesn't amount to anything.
Right.
You can suffer. You can be the martyr. The martyr. You can give your life for the cause. But if you're not really filled with love, it amounts to nothing at all. God responds to faith, yes. But God also responds to our love. And what Jesus saw that afternoon when those brothers, when those friends lowered their friend before him, what Jesus saw was an amazing love of men. Men loving men. Isn't that cool? It was all right for these men to love their friend. It was all right for them to pick him up. It was all right for one of them to say, we're going to find a rope. I don't care what happens here. We're going to find a rope and we're going to lower him down. There is no way I am going home without my friend being at the feet of the healer. There's no way. That's love, isn't it? That's love. That's love. Jesus saw their great faith. I think it's clear, right? And Jesus saw their amazing love. I mean, it's a unusual. They went to, like, let me say it again. They go to unusual great lengths to make sure that their friend got to Jesus. Unusually great lengths. Jesus saw it. And the climate was right, or the temperature was right for the miracles to start taking place. And for this man, Jesus said to him, get up, get off your mat. And we're told that he did three things. He got up, he stood up, and he walked away with his mat. Right? Isn't that great? Wow, thank you, God. A little later on, in John chapter 13, if we kept reading in John 13, and you're welcome to do this later on, but later on in John chapter 13, Paul says that these three remain. There's three, after you take everything else away, after you whittle everything else off of the piece of wood, there's three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Faith, you know that passage, right? Faith, hope, and love is what remains. And I want to draw your attention to something here this morning. We know we talked about faith, we've talked about love. It's good. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We've talked about faith, we've talked about love. Now we talk about hope for just a few minutes. And I want you to notice that it says hope and not hype. Unless, of course, you're from Newfoundland. If you're from Newfoundland, it's faith, hype, and love. But that's not what the Word of God says. And it's important because, you know what, when we talk about healing, we talk about God moving by the power of His Spirit, and we hear stories of how God has touched people, and how God heals them, and how God takes away the cancer, or how God restores lung capacity, how God restores a shoulder that's hurt and bruised and broken maybe. It's not about hype, it's about hope, okay? We don't need the hype, because Jesus is the healer. We don't need the hype. We need to promote hope. We need to understand that the greatest of these is love, but the three that remain are faith, hope, and love. We don't need to, and what I mean by this, we don't need to start making this stuff up. And when we start doing that, when we start hyping it up, we start drumming it up, we start putting it in a package, we start trying to sell it somehow, we're doing an injustice to what Jesus the healer did. It's not faith, hype, and love. It's faith, hope, and love. We don't need to sell it. We don't need to sell it. We don't need razzle-dazzle. We don't need to shout. We just need to call on Jesus to be the healer that he is. And we just need to show extraordinary faith and love in bringing our friends to him. Amen? That's what we need. And I want to tell you, just hang on, man. I'll talk to you later, okay? I know you have a question.
That's
not
for
me. And so,
no,
it's about hope.
That's not enough.
It's about hope. Thank you, God.
Hey.
It's about hope.
Dan.
It's about hope.
You're a man of God.
It's about hope.
You'll stand up here in front of me and all this.
It's time that we just know what the hope of God is. You know what? It's clear, right? I mean, the enemy doesn't want us to hear this, so let's just listen to this. You don't need to be distracted. We have the ability to focus, so just focus. Just focus today. Because I want you to hear this. We're getting near the end here. I want you to hear this, that there's hope for you. That's what God wants me to say to you today. There is hope for you. Whatever the struggle is that you have, whatever the hardship that you have, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is in control. Jesus Christ is the healer. Amen? And he can take care of whatever the struggle is that you have in your life. Just listen to God today. There's lots of voices. Just listen to his voice. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just pray. God has hope. He's a God of hope.
No.
Thank
you. No. Hey.
Thank you.
What?
Jesus. Thank you, God. He's a God of great hope. Right, Don? He's a God of victory. He's a God of victory. You know, in my life, God has he's given me that hope. The Bible says that we're not like those who have no hope, but we have great hope because of what Jesus has done. So today, this is a message for all of us. You know, some of us here today, we need to have our hope renewed. Maybe you've been down. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe, you know, there's such hope with Jesus. There is hope with Jesus to overcome addiction. There is. And there's a lot of you who can say amen to that. It's true, right? There's hope with Jesus to overcome depression. There's hope with Jesus to overcome any stronghold of the enemy. Just focus on Jesus today. No one said it was going to be easy. Right? No one said it was going to be easy. No one said it was going to be easy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's hope. There is hope. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Okay. For just a few minutes, Danny, can we just keep the door closed? Thank you. I want you to hear this last part. Okay. I know you do, Al. I love you too. Okay, let's just quiet down a second. Listen, I'm no dummy. I know that there's a battle going on here today. There's a war going on, and you can walk out of here today and you can say, well, that was just craziness. I urge you today to just listen to what God's trying to say. He wants you to know how much he loves you. He wants you to know that if you're losing hope, he is the God of all hope. God wants you to know, listen to me. Jesus wants you to know that he is still the healer. And he wants you at his feet. And I don't know why the hope might be dwindling in your life. I don't know why you might be a couple quarts short of hope. But I can tell you this. I can tell you this, that God is here today to reinstill and reinvigorate you with the hope. And he's doing the right thing. He's coming to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do we ever run out of second chances with our God?
No.
Is he ever a God who says, that's it, don't come to me anymore?
No.
So, I just want to pray. I guess I want to ask you today, we're going to pray for Alan, if there's others who want prayer. But if today you are feeling, you're knowing that in your life, there's just been this hollowness, this emptiness, that you've been all alone, you feel like you're struggling with loneliness and with being alone. I'm going to ask you to stand up if you need more hope in your life. I want to pray for that. So is there anyone here today, you want to stand up and say, God, fill me with your hope. Do it right now. Anyone? Amen. Thank you, God. Yeah, you can lift your hands up to him. I want to pray for you. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. God, we just respond to your love. Amen. We respond to your love, God, and we know that your love breaks through, that your light breaks through the darkness, and there's been lots of darkness in our lives, and there's been some darkness even in this service, but God, you reign. You are the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings, and there is no God like you. There is no other God like you, God, and we need your hope, God. We call on you. You are the God of all hope, you say. You tell us, you say, I am the God of all hope, and I will give you all the hope and all the joy and all the peace. So Lord, we cry out to you right now. We need that hope, God. We know that we don't stand alone. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We just receive it right now in the name of Jesus. We receive it, God. We come like that paralytic man. We come where all the odds are against us. Where all the odds are against us, and yet we come with great hope. Because we know, Lord Jesus, that you are prepared and that you're willing to receive us. Even though we're broken, even though we're sinful, even though we sometimes wander far from you, God. Your love is an amazing love. We just receive it, God. I pray that right now, in the name of Jesus, that right now you pour your love into our hearts. Thank you, God, for being so faithful. And finally, God, I just pray that you will lay this on our hearts in such a way, God, that we will love each other, that we will love people in our neighborhoods and people in the streets, that we will love our neighbors and our friends so much, God, that we will go to whatever length it takes to bring them to your feet, to the feet of the healer, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Just glorify your name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. In Romans, God's word says this, may the God of hope, let me say it again, just listen to this, receive this today. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Grace and mercy and peace to all who love the Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Amen.
Romans 1.
Thank you, God.
Chris, Romans 1.
Amen.
Romans
1. Well, that.
Just invite you to come for prayer.
8.
Come to the front. If you need prayer, you want to give your life to Jesus, you need just a sense of the hope of God. Say amen.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
Oh dear. That must have worked for this.
Say that.
Have you got a